So yesterday we went through from questions 6 through 12. There was one slight, I won't call it an error, it's just funny. A lot of times Rebbe will write like a bit error kind of thing. And like, what exactly did Rebbe have in mind? So yeah, question 11, I wasn't exactly sure about the bit error, so I spoke to Rebbe a little bit about it today. I think we got a lot of that when we just, if you answer up well what the Maharam's questions are, you and I spoke about this morning, the Avira on both sides, and the fact that Rashi considers it like four defunos, so you have the other, that diagonal in the corners, you have two more walls, so what's a pshat there? But if you answer up, you know, so that's why Dafko, so that explains the Maharam Shita, right? The Maharam says it's got to be in the corner because, you know, Rashi uses this lashon. So Be'er the Maharam, why does the Maharam think it has to be Be'er and Zavis? Because he thinks the corner, in the opposite corner, a diagonal, that's the only way to get it to be Ki'ilu four walls, like what Rashi's speaking about. So that's the Maharam. I think we said that. I think we definitely said that side. But the Be'er on the other way is a different way to look at it, is the Brisker Rav, that he thinks whatever, wherever you're putting this tefach, it's drawing in a full third wall. And it's making it as if the third wall is susum. So if you put that, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi's issue are, if you say that it's next to the wall, then how can you be susum in the entire ruach? Meaning, the almost the further away you put it, with the Brisker Rav, in some ways, is better. Because if there's a chiddush in Halacha Moshe Sinai, the third wall is susum, then if you put it in the corner, then the full wall is filled in. If you put it right next to the second wall, then it's actually not filled in. Right? Because then, if it fills in from the full wall to the little piece, so the little piece is very close, then, you know, then that's not, that that might, maybe wouldn't be a full sasum. So it, maybe in some regards, the Vida Brisker Rav's explanation, it would be better to put it further away. So according to the Marshal, if you, so that's
still within Karen's office?
Yeah, that's a good svar. For, so I don't know if you need to get all of this. I was just speaking to Rebbe about a lot of what he had in mind in the Be'er. I think if you spoke out just even the Maharam of like why the Maharam says to put it in the far corner, because based on his two kashas, this is the only way to get it to be a enclosed structure and have a vira on both sides. That's the Maharam. And another important thing for Karen Zavis could be that if you think that the full wall is filled in, then in some ways, the further away, the better. The more Pashat understanding would be the further away, and then it has nothing to do with the sukkah. Right? If you have two walls and then a piece in the far corner, so that could be a for the tzad that says that it needs to be not the Karen Zavis, that's one of the asfara going in that direction. And one other point from Shir that I think was actually Naftu, I'll give him a little shout out, I think he said this, that the Marshal of Firashi with that diagonal piece next to the two walls, it could still be like an enclosure. Because if you view the diagonal as a connecting, Enechanami, it's a triangle, but it's still like an enclosed structure. So it's another svara that we threw out in Shir. Just like a few svaras for why, instead of just drawing out four little pictures, but I think even yesterday we spoke out like a little bit of the svara for why you would put it where you would put it. But I think Rebbe's Be'er is just clarifying, like, don't just draw me like four little pictures, know a little bit about what's going on. So now going to today's stuff. I think we're going to pick up at 13. So, fine. So let's see what's going on. So this is, like, I think the easiest question we can. Unless I'm missing something, it's Rebbe's asking for a Gemara and Rashi. So, so Rashi fills us in. We have two walls parallel to each other. Not the classic L, but it's two parallel lines. So, you know, your east and west side of your sukkah, let's say. That's the case. So, if you're a Yehuda, if you're a Simon, what do you need to do? So, does anyone want to help me out and answer this one? What does Rebbe Yehuda say you need? Tefach shochik, where does the tefach need to be? Just the tefach, and it could be, yeah, it could be wherever you want. Like, you can really put it next to any of these walls. It's pretty pashal if you're a Yehuda, so he pretty much understands it very similarly to the classic case of Shnaim Kachasan v'shishut lilo tefach. Shnaim Kachasan is the L-shaped walls, and he says put a tefach there too. For this case, it's two parallel walls. Also, put a tefach somewhere in the middle. Rav Simon says, you need, does anyone know? You need more than that in this case. Pas arba. You need a four tefach plank to be put between the two parallel walls. So with Lovin and the four tefachim, you create your you know, a seven tefach wall. 4.1, let's say the pasar bar is slightly more with the Lovin. So that's the shitas of Rabbi Yehuda and Simon. So Rashi explains a little bit. So essentially, what do we have? We have a case where we have two. When we say Shnaim Kilchasan, what do we mean? I mean, I guess two walls that are seven tefachim long. But what do they need? What else do they need, if anything? So Rabbi Yehuda says nothing. If you have two walls that are seven tefachim, shnayim kelchasan, v'shlishis havilu tefach. Bein b'tzukah, you know, tzukah asuya kemavoy, bein classic case, the L and the parallel walls, l'fi Rabbi Yehuda, are barely any different. They're just two cases of shnayim kelchasan, and you add a tefach. For Rabbi Simon, shnayim kelchasan doesn't mean two walls that are seven tefachim long. It means two walls that are seven tefachim long and kamin gam. Rabbi Simon has that extra requirement. For Rabbi Yehuda, you just need two walls that are seven tefachim long. For Rabbi Simon, you need two walls that are kamin gam. They make this L. So in the first case, Shnayim Kachasan v'shlishis havilu tefach, the classic case, he requires two walls and an L, and just one more tefach. In this case, we have two walls, enachanami, seven tefachim long, but they're not attached to each other. They're not forming the L. And due to that, he requires more. He requires a pasar bar with the lavud to create that better middle wall to give you a kamin gam. Otherwise, you don't really have two walls that are adjacent to each other. So that's the difference between the two cases, the fear of Simon. And the fear of Yehuda, there's not even really much of a difference between the cases. So, ma'achaluk le... So the Gemara even says this. Rashi elaborates and expounds upon the Gemara. See if I can find it quickly. So we're on Zayin Amalav. So earlier there, meaning Shnan Kachasan, why did we say it was Sagi Tefach Shochik? So why 1.1 over there and 4.1 over here? So Hassan, the Ika Shtei Defanos Kehel Chasan. There, by the Shnayim Chasan case, we had Shtei Defanos Kehel Chasan, Sagi Le B'Tavach Shochik. We had two walls Kehel Chasan, so Sagi Le B'Tavach Shochik. Hacha, the Leka Shtei Defanos, so then we need the Pasar Ba, Ika Pasar Ba in, Iva Lo. So what does the Gemara say? There you had two good walls, here you don't. So what does Rashi do with that? They were both seven Tefachim long. Why is the first case good and the second case not? So clearly, with Fear of Simon, Kamin Gam matters. There we had two walls that were good that are attached and make an L, Kamin Gam. And here we don't have that. So Lefi Rav Simon, that matters. And Lefi Rav Yehuda, just two walls, seven fucking long is all you need. So that's 13. It's really, like, honestly, if you didn't, like, just read those lines in the Gemara, you know, with Rashi, I think that's really the full question. Okay, so Hamlam the Shaim Khalasam Shishu Vio Tefach. So Ham Tark Tur Sapasach Be Ruach Gimel. So this is going right through the Gemara. Team Gimel Shono Shal Rabba Bazar. So does someone want to try to speak them out, or should we read them out? What do people want? Amar Rabba, it's the next thing in the Gemara. So do people remember some of the statements of Rabba? Anyone want to go for it?
The first statement is that Nateras.
Yeah, Nataris, but what?
In it has Elav, the Tefach. You need to have Tefach in addition to the Tefach.
So, the first one's, okay. The first one, let's just say, he requires a Tur Sabasa.
Yeah.
Meaning, in a Tur,
what?
Yeah, it's, we sort of read, like an exclusion to the Tefach. I mean, we'll get it, because the box can even answer. I mean, the box says, oh, but fine. So, the first one, in a Nataris, Elav, Tur Sabasa. Simon, you'll do the second one. Ika Damri, Amar Ravav, and Nataris, Nami, Tur Sabasa. So, which one's that? Right, that's an either or option, which we'll have to explain also. And then, Ika Damri, Amar Ravav, Tricha Nami, Tur Sabasa. So, the last one is Tricha Nami. The middle one is either or. The first one seems to be, no, you need a Tur Sabasa. That's what you need. It's not a Tefach, it's a Tur Sabasa. So, that'll lead us into, you know, our Kasha on the first Lishna. The first Lishna does sound like, whatever, the box answer will make you feel better then, so it'll be smoother. So, Ting Gimel Shon Sharav, we just did that. Oh, we're not up there yet. The next question will deal with the kashas on, some of the kashas on the Lishonos of Rabba. So, do you need a Tzuras HaPasach by Sukkah Suya Kimavoy? So, we've just been talking about Sukkah Suya Kimavoy, again, these two parallel walls. So, what we have here is kind of interesting. What we have is two cases in the Gemara. We have Shnayim Kachasim Shishivio Tepach, and then we have Sukkah Suya Kimavoy, case one, case two, and then the statement of Rabbah, that you need a Tzuras HaPasach. And we'll clarify which one we pass on the Lishna Basra. We'll start to analyze them a little bit. But let's just say for now, Rabbah requires a Tzuras HaPasach in the third wall. Okay. Which case? The second case, the first case, both, neither? I mean, it's not going to be neither. That's not an option. Rabbah says we need a Tzuras HaPasach on this third Tepach. So on this third wall with the Tepach. Well, okay, which case? So Machlokas Rishonim, funny, in Shir, I asked Rabbi if anyone assumes just case two, because we only saw case one or case one and two. But for sure, classic Shnayim Chasan, Vishishu Vilo Tevach, you need a Tzuras HaPasach. So Rabbi said he actually found it. I forgot, he said he found the Rishon. That's like very Das Yechid, so we're going to stay away from that. But there was one Rishon that assumed just case two. But everybody else assumes for sure case one. So Shnayim Chasan, Vishishu Vilo Tevach. So when Rabbi says, so that's Pasha, that's not even in the question. But Rabbi asks, what about a Sukkah Suya Kamavoy? So the second case, right? The first case Shnayim Chasan, second case is Sukkah Suya Kamavoy. So, oh no, but he does say Vistam Sukkah. So anyway, fine. Oh no, I'm looking at the wrong one. It just says Sukkah Suya Kamavoy. So everybody agrees that you need on the first case. That second case of Sukkah Suya Kamavoy, do you need? So the Rambam assumes that this din of Rava applies to both. You need, for classic Shnayim Chasan, you need Tzuras HaPasach, and for Sukkah Suya Kamavoy. You always need this din of Rava, you need Tzuras HaPasach. The Magen Mishnah quotes Yesh Mevarshim, who says that Rava's statement and halacha only applies to the classic case of Shnayim Kachasan and does not apply to Sukkah Suya Kamavoy. So this is the Machlokas Rishonim. And then we spoke about the famous Bir Agra. So this is where the Bir Agra actually makes the statement. We quoted it a bunch of times in Shir. The Bir Agra here explains the following. He doesn't think Lavud could be part of the Iker Shir of a Dofan. So what do you have here? You have this Shnayim, you have this Sukkah Suya Kamavoy. So what did we say? Two walls of seventh Fachim. And in the middle, what did we require the Fear of Simon? Some Chazara on the previous question. What does Simon require? Tefach, a Tefach Shochik, a Pasar Ba. Which one?
Pasar
Ba. So you have this Pasar Ba. So you have four. And if you use Lavud, you have seven Tefachim right there. You have a full wall. So if you don't use Lavud in the Iker Shir, and you have this 4.1, and you're going to need to compensate. You're going to need, in economy, the Torah tells us, you know, but still, you need to put up a tzuras ha-pesach. You know, the lavud, you know, it can't work towards the ikar shir, says the Gra, and this is presumably what he would think the Rambam Svara is. It can't work towards the shir of the dofen, so you need a tzuras ha-pesach to get that full shir dofen. So you have lavud, pasar ba, and a tzuras ha-pesach for the rest of the way. That's what you would need for the sukkah suya kamavoy case. So love it sort of works in a Torah, but midir abanan we require the tzuras ha-pesach. It's hard to say love it doesn't really work at all for the ikar shir, but that's the sheet of the Gra, and that's what would be attributed to the Rambam. But if you hold the other tzad, if you hold that love it can work towards the ikar shir, then play out the case for me. We have two walls of seven tefachim, and in the middle, again, we keep saying we have a pasar ba'al of fear of simo. What do we have between the... So what do you have between the pasar ba and one of your walls?
Lavud.
So you have 2.9 plus your 4.1, you have a wall. You don't need tzuras ha-pesach. So why would you need tzuras ha-pesach in that case? So that side would say, so when do we need tzuras ha-pesach? Shnayim k'chalasam v'shishu v'yot tavach. You need tzuras ha-pesach the rest of the way. If you already have a pasar ba with lavud, then you're good to go. So that's the machlokas there about whether or not we would need, whether the Rava's din of tzuras ha-pesach would apply to sukkah suya kamavoy. So now we're going to dig into the Lashonos a little bit and start to ask kashas in the Lashonos. So
that was the Rambam and then
it's a machlokas Rishonim between the Rambam and the Magen Mishnah. I mean, the Magen Mishnah quotes a Yesh Mefarshim that disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam thinks Rava's halacha applies to both, meaning case one and case two. The Yesh Mefarshim think only the first case. We said that there's one Rishon that thinks only case two, but we didn't say that in Shir even. Fine. So, Mahikshua Ritva B'Shem Atosos Al Lishna Kama D'Rava. So Simon is talking about the Lishna Kama, and Lishna Kama is controversial, right? It seems like the most controversial one. Why? The Ritva asks a bomb kashan. And so we've just had this Braisa, and we've been saying literally all year, like tons of times in Shir, Shnayim Kachasam V'Shish Zviyot Tafach. Lachum Moshmi Sinai, we know this. Rava comes out with this statement and says, "You, Amar Rava," here, exact Lashon, "Ain't any Taras El B'Tzuras HaPesach." It sounds like you need a Tzuras HaPesach for it to be kosher. That's what you need. So we know, is Rava an Amora, Rava Tana? He's an Amora. And so, what's the Ritva's Kasha? Anyone know?
How could he be chulukin the Braisa?
How could he be chulukin the Braisa? We've been saying this Braisa this whole time. He comes out, sort of, you know, saying, you know, no, it's not true. You don't need a Tafach, you need a Tzuras HaPesach. So, we saw Bach, that really the Bach's talking within the Lishna Basra, which is how we end the Paskening, but we applied some of the Bach's Svara to answer up for the Lishna Kama. So the Bach says that one's on a Doraisa level, one's on a Darabanan level. It's not an argument, it's more of like an addition. It's an amendment to the Braisa. The Braisa says you need a Tafach, but he's saying a Tzuras HaPesach is a Midarabanan, you should add on. So Shlishis Afilu Tafach is the Lachmash Misinai, and we should also put a Tzuras HaPesach Midarabanan. So how that plays out exactly in the Lishna Kama, we said that can answer up, that, you know, one's Doraisa, one's Darabanan, so it's not he's not arguing with the opening Braisa, with the Braisa, he's, you know, adding to. That was the most, you know, simplest answer we could possibly give. Rashi and Tosfos give a little bit of a different read. They say the following, that the Tzuras HaPesach in general sits on just like a kol shehu. It's this line and string that's going over or whatever, this little area, and it doesn't need to be sitting on a full tefach. The post on the side that's holding it up could be very, very thin. So Rashi and Tosfos say it's really a chatzi tefach on either side, and so that's how Rava interprets the braisa. So when he's saying Tzuras HaPesach, he's talking about not a classic Tzuras HaPesach, it's a Tzuras HaPesach that sits on a chatzi tefach on either side. So it still does, in some ways, have the tefach. We spoke in Shir a little bit, like, how does that work? Like, what makes the two chatzi tefachim mitzdar? It's like very interesting, but Rashi does assume, like, it makes it like less... It's like less out there in your face. It's not, oh, there's not no tefach. There is a tefach. There's a chatzi tefach on each side. So that's how Rava sort of fits in with the Braisa. He's not arguing the Braisa in that regard. So that's what we said with Tosfos. So moving on to the Lishna Metzia for a minute. So this is the either or, right? Seemingly. I mean, he says the either or, right? Again, Rava's Lashon. Ika da Amri Amar Rava v'nitaras nami b'tzuras ha-pesach. So it sounds like you have these options. You have these choices. So. What's pshat within this daya? So if this is true, you could choose, seemingly the most pasha way to read that line, if I asked 9 out of 10 people would tell me, you can do either a tefach or a tzuras ha-pesach. Those are your options. But if that's the case, why does the Braisa say shlishis afilu tefach? The Lashon of the Braisa is pretty clear. It doesn't say shnayim k'chasam v'shlishis tzuras ha-pesach o tefach. It says shlishis afilu tefach. So it sounds like the third wall needs a tefach. Who introduced the idea that you could choose between either a tefach or a tzuras ha-pesach? So Rashi and the Ritva both have different ways of dealing with this. The Ritva's answer, it's not even a kasha. The Ritva can't fathom any option of Rava not including a tefach. all three have to include a tefach lifi the ritva. So the ritva explains the three as follows. The Rebbe doesn't really ask how the ritva explains all three, but I think it's just easier to understand. Explaining how the ritva understands the middle one, you really need to understand all three. Because it says the either or is either one or three. So I guess we should just go through all three. So the ritva says the following. The first one is what? It's Atzuras HaPasach, but obviously, Avada, you need a tefach. There's no way. So when Simon is reading, it's not just Atzuras HaPasach, you also need a tefach. It's two walls, Shnayim Kechalson, and a tefach, right afterwards, and then Atzuras HaPasach the rest of the way. That's option one. So the Atzuras HaPasach is in case one. Yeah, you have questions?
Time for Dofen? That one?
Yeah, the tefach is, I don't even think there's any love of it. The tefach is on touching the Dofen, and then there's Atzuras HaPasach. The third case, we'll skip to the Lashon of Basra, is when you need both. So what's the both? It's Lavud, a tefach shochik, and then a tzuras pasach the rest of the way. That's the third case. And the two, the either or, it's not either a tefach or a tzuras pasach. It's either one or three. And what's one and three again? One is the tzuras pasach with a tefach right next to one of the walls. And three is lavud, tefach shochik, and a tzuras pasach the rest of the way. So those are your two options. But no matter how you slice it for the ritva, you're always going to have a tefach.
Gotcha.
So why does the Bryce say shishu v'yot tefach? Because you need a tefach. You always need a tefach to be the ritva. In every single case of brava, you're going to need a tefach. Yeah.
Even without that second lashon, even if you had just two of those ikadamris for brava, wouldn't you know you could either one? Even without the middle lashon?
No, ikadamri means this is what we thought brava said. Meaning, if you thought brava said one, you can't do three. If you thought Rava said three, you came out of Shita. Like, I'm not sure exactly. It would be interesting to ask people, like, what's the nature of an ikadamri? Like, you have these gemaras where, like, people come out of Shita and, like, have opposite things of what was said. I guess, like, times don't change. I'm kidding. But, like, it's complicated. But, like, there are plenty of times in the gemara where it's literally the opposite Pesach Halacha. We see this all the time. So I think, in this case, it's not as drastic. But the ikadamris are, like, either Rava said this or this. The second option is, Rava said you can choose between these two options. So that's what the second option is, Lafi the Ritva. And so it always has a tefach, yeah? And we'll do Rashi in a minute.
Also, because I guess I don't understand why we have the second case, because according to the Ritva, think about it, we're really just, Rava's just adding out to the Machlokas Rabbi Simon and
Rabbi Yehuda?
Yeah, because the first case is just Keneged Ayotze with the Teres Pesach added out at the end.
Right.
Draw it up.
The first case is okay. It's Keneged Ayotze, and then you have a Teres Pesach
added. And the third case is Rabbi Simon's case with the Teres Pesach added.
So it's making the machlokas worse or better?
No, so according to the Ritva, it's just the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Simon, the three.
You're saying the first case is almost like Rabbi Yehuda, and the third one is like Rabbi Simon. Interesting.
They're the exact same thing. So you just had a Teres Pesach in there, and then the second one is saying, yeah, but you choose.
Interesting. I never thought of how that plays out. You're saying the first one sounds like Rabbi Yehuda's Pesach Halacha. The third one sounds like, interesting.
It looks like
I think the Ritva would say that. Even if Simon,
then you add it to a Pesach at the end. This is Rabbi Yehuda, though.
Right. I hear that. I never realized that. I don't know what the ramifications are on the earlier Machlokas. It's very interesting. But that's how the Ritva addresses. We should continue that, like with Rabbi, honestly. But that's how the Ritva answers up for why the Lashon is a few Shishavilu Tevach, because he's always going to need a Tevach. So what about Rashi? So Rashi says Rashi really does think it's an either or, like how we first read it, like either Tzuras HaPasach or a tefach. So if this is the case, then Rashi really has to deal with that kasha. Why did the Braisa say Shlishis Aviyu Tefach? So we said a rush that it's a little bit of a kol shekain. Since the Braisa tells you a tefach works, kol shekain, certainly a Tzuras HaPasach should work. So if that's the case, we're going to have to apply that svara of the rush on behalf of Rashi. You have to. Otherwise, how can Rashi say? Rava's not arguing with the Braisa. So Rava's saying you could choose either or, because if the tefach works, kol shekain, the Tzuras HaPasach is going to work. So that's how you would answer that up for Rashi. Because the Lashon says a tefach, but Rashi gives an option with no tefach. So you can't say Rava's arguing with the time. So Rava's saying the Tanam require tefach, and for sure Tzuras HaPasach should work if just the tefach works. And I think if you're asking what the Kol Shekain comes from, I didn't see the Lashon side this morning. I think we said that Tzuras HaPasach is a real concept in Halacha. By Shabbos, by Kalayim, it exists and it works. Just having one tefach is like a very big chiddush, right? Like, where do we see that one tefach does anything? I mean, we've been talking about it like all Zman, but like, it's more novel and it's, you know, more of a chiddush, I guess. So that's where there's some form of a hierarchy. So if a tefach would work, Kol Shekain and Tzuras HaPasach. So moving forward, now we have the Achidish of the Lavush by the Lishna Basra the Rava. So Lishna Basra the Rava, you need the Tzuras HaPasach and you need the Tefach. So let's assume you have the Lava, Tefach Shokik, whatever it may be. So your the Lava and Tefach Shokik gets you to four Tefachim of the Tzuras HaPasach. That needs to get you at least till, what number would you throw out? Probably at least till, what do you think, for the third wall?
For the quarter of the
seven. No, just in general, like to get to a kosher amount, let's say you get the seven. But let's say you have a really, really big sukkah. So should we have the Tzuras HaPasach go the full length or no? So, unclear. So the Lush says that it has to go, it's only kosher as far as the Tzuras HaPasach goes. Meaning, if your Tzuras HaPasach goes to 7th Tefachim, and your third, so you have one really long wall, and you have your second wall, and you have your third wall that's this tefach and whatever it may be. If the tirsa pesach doesn't match the length of the other wall, the first wall one, let's call it, then it's not kosher in the full area. So if you do something, I'll get to you in a sec, if you do something in that outside area, that would not be kshira. You can't sit in that area, you can't use that area.
It has to be as big as the other walls?
Meaning, if you have a very, very long wall, it's only kosher as far as the tirsa pesach goes, essentially. If the tirsa pesach ends, that's the end of your sukkah. Wherever your tirsa pesach... Well, if it goes just still here, then it's kosher just still here. But if you sit here, Reuven and Shimon decide to sit over there, they want to get some extra air in. In a regular... Well, we'll get to that in a minute. What's your question, Simon?
Why is it only negated to the last lesson, to the list of Basra? Why is that
right.
not a part of
So I think it's just because he's paskening la'alacha. Like, psak alacha, I'm pretty sure, is in the list of Basra, that you need... I hear your kasha, though.
Does it apply equally to the list of Kama?
Presumably. I'm thinking now... Lishna... The middle Lashon, you get to choose. So, no, the middle Lashon, yeah, you get to choose. The first Lashon, if you think it's Tzuras HaPasach, then presumably you would say the same Sakh Alacha. But I think he's just passing Alacha Lamaisa within the Lashon Basra, right here. So in a normal Sukkah, let's take a normal Sukkah. Well, what's the next thing Rabbi asked? Yes, the Kasha yet? First, let's just see if Rashi fits into this. So Rashi is a Lashon that some say Rashi is sensitive to the same thing, because he says the Tzuras HaPasach should go Pnei Kol HaDofen Kula. So it sounds like the Tzuras HaPasach needs to go the full length of the wall. It needs to go the full length, and that's what you need, not just seven Tefachim. So based on that, you would see that maybe Rashi sensitive to the same thing, and would also paskin that it's only kosher as far as the Tzuras HaPasach goes. So if the Tzuras HaPasach goes 10 tefachim, that's how far you have. And if you're eating past that, that's no good. So what's the kasha of the Sharetzion? So let's take a normal sukkah. You have a normal sukkah with a really long wall one, and however long wall two is, honestly, it could be 7 tefachim, as long as it's 7 or more. It could be however long. If you're drawing a diagram, so draw a really big, you know, line up in north south on your page, and then a small line the other direction, or big, whatever you want. And the third line, this Tzuras HaPasach one, goes, well, let's say it's a regular sukkah, it's not Tzuras HaPasach. So you have a third wall that goes halfway the length of the other wall. So you have a 10 amma wall, and the other one's a 5 amma wall. Is it kshira past the 5 amma wall? Can you eat outside that area?
Yeah.
Yeah, psal yotzim in a sukkah, of course you can. With the regular sukkah, of course, it's kosher. So, and that's pasha. That's like, you know, we've been talking about some controversial psal yotzim in Daf Dalet when Rashi applies psal yotzim to Itztava. But this is pasha psal yotzim. Everybody agrees to this. It's kshira. So in this case with the Tzuras HaPasach, all of a sudden why the Shaar Tzion asks, why can't you apply something like psal yotzim? Shaar Tzion says psal yotzim in Asukah makes this area kosher. So why would you need Tzuras HaPasach to go the full length? It should be the same halacha. Just like a wall doesn't need to go the full way, Tzuras HaPasach shouldn't need to go the full way. As long as it's past 7 tefachim, it goes a certain amount of the length down, the rest of the area should be kshira from psal yotzei. That's the kasha of the Shaar Tzion. It's a good kasha, and the same... His logic is how we're going to answer it. Meaning, he's making a little bit of a jump. He's saying, just like it works like this by a dofen, it should work by this by a Tzuras HaPasach. If a dofen doesn't go the full length, it's still kshira past that dofen because of psal yotzei, so too the Tzuras HaPasach. So what's the answer? The answer is we're going to have to make a chiluk between a dofen and a Tzuras HaPasach. So the Chazon Ish gives an answer, and he says that psal yotzei, what is psal? It's not this made up concept that all of a sudden magically that back area of the sukkah is kshira. It works because we take a dofen mamish and we extend it. We extend that dofen and to include further areas in the sukkah as far as the other wall goes. But this works on a dofen. It works on a dofen. The one tefach that we have here is tefach shochig. It's not a. For the third wall, that is a full shear. But the Tzuras HaPesach doesn't make it more like a 7 tefachim wall. It gives it a din mechitza for a longer area. But again, the ikar shear for that third wall is only a tefach. So you have this tefach, you have this Tzuras HaPesach, and this might come clear when we speak out more lumbus of like what natures of walls are and what walls need in the next question or two, I think, even. But in the meantime, the Tzuras HaPesach just extends this din mechitza, but it's not an actual wall. So psal yotzei applies to mamish mechitzos. Psal yotzei can extend what you have as a real wall, and it makes that real wall further. It doesn't take a one tefach wall that has a Tzuras HaPesach, it can't extend that any further. That's what you have to say within the Lovush's line of thinking. It's not that nobody could apply psal yotzei to Tzuras HaPesach, but perhaps Lovush and those who want to read into Rashi, which seems like a pretty good diuk, would say that they don't apply psal yotzei to Tzuras HaPesach. Why? Psal yotzei is a concept that works on Mechitzos Mamish. It doesn't work on Tzuras HaPesach.
This, they
want to
say this could be considered a
mechitza? I mean, we're using it. Everyone has to say it's a mechitza as it pertains to the third wall being a mechitza.
They call it din mechitza, but not
Well, it's still what the shear for the third wall is just one tefach. So, check that box. But in terms of the Tzuras HaPesach being a mechitza mamish, it's not. It's a din mechitza for seven tefachim. And
as it pertains to psal yotzei, it needs to be a
dofen mamish. Lafi, that's how the Chazon Ish would answer for the Lovush and Rashi.
And not just a din mechitza.
Right. Okay, hopefully that's somewhat clear to people. Okay, so I am Tzuras HaPasach, Malas Bechol Dechanos HaSukkah. So we introduced Tiras HaPesach over here, and so by the third wall, we asked a lot of questions about this on Shir. We said, like, it's funny, like, at different points in the Zman, we made clear that the third wall is fundamentally different than the first two. Again, on Daf Daled with Itztava that came up, and, you know, in various cases. But on the other hand, like, if something could work for one wall, like, should it just work for all? Like, how can we really understand why something could work for one of the walls of Sukkah but not for the other two? So, or maybe Anachanami, maybe Tiras HaPesach does work by all three. So the Ran has yisod that Tiras HaPesach doesn't work by Sukkah. Doesn't work by Sukkah. Can't work for the first two walls. How does it work for the third wall? So we're going to have to explain. But it only works for the third wall, doesn't work for the first two. And if it worked for all of them, this is a pretty very logical point, then what would be the cool of the third wall? Right? Shisafi with Tefach, Tefach, and Tiras HaPesach. If that worked for one of the first two walls, so what's this Shnaim Kachasim Shisafi with Tefach? We've been saying the third wall, more Kal, more Mekel, blah, blah, blah. No, it's the same halacha. So clearly, the Ran says, no, Tiras HaPesach only works for wall three, and that is the Kula. And he says, just like Gudasik, as we've spoken about at length, I think yesterday this already came up in the Chazara, that the Ran does not apply Gudasik by Sukkah. He doesn't think it works, right? He passing like Rabbi, I guess. We need the Funos and Nikaros. We don't have those. It's not Nicker. The walls aren't nicker. It works by Shabbos, right, says the Ran. But by Sukkah, I mean, we spoke about that machlokas, you know, with the Meiri and the Rambam of does it even work by Shabbos either? Maybe it doesn't work by Shabbos either, and it's a different concept at play. But the Ran assumes Gnostic is a good concept. It's a good concept, G-O-O-D, and it works by Shabbos. But by Sukkah, it's not the fun. Yeah, I'm cracking jokes over here. It's not a... So too Tiras HaPesach, those both lack a nicker, a certain nicker, right? Good Asik is these walls that we're extending. Tiras HaPesach is just like this door frame, and there's not an actual wall there. So both these things work by Shabbos, but and other areas, but not by Sukkah. So Enachanami, Tiras HaPesach is more physical than Good Asik because there's like a little bit of an outline of a wall, not completely imaginary and completely extension based, but still it's not nicker. So says the Ran, so it doesn't work. The Rush, however, thinks that Tiras HaPesach does work on the first two walls. So we made a diyuk from the Rosh on Yud Tes Min Aleph. I don't think we need to go into the full extent of that to get to the Rosh Hashita, that he thinks that that Tiras HaPesach does work by the first two walls. So the Ran thinks only the third wall, the Rosh thinks it could work on any of the walls. So then, based on that, we have to like explain a little bit more. So there's a brisker rav that will hopefully clarify things, and this might help the previous question also. So we said in Shir, we said in Mahalik about what could the Funos need. So there's a concept of you need a shear dofan, a machitza mamish. You need your wall. A wall needs to be a wall. And additionally, though, we need like a holich al pnei kol haruach. We need something extending that full length. So the magic number is seven, right? We need seven tefachim. So again, we need a shear dofan, a machitza mamish. That's the first thing we need. The second element to a wall is that it's holich al pnei kol haruach. It extends for that full side that we need it to be. So for the first two walls, the shear of a wall is what? It's seven. So for a wall to be there, to have the machitza mamish, in order to accomplish A, part A of what a wall is, you automatically mamela accomplish part B. If you're going to have a shear of a machitza mamish of seven tefachim, then you automatically have seven tefachim of holich al pnei kol haruach, something extending for seven tefachim. So the first two walls are pasha. Once you need seven, you accomplish A and B. For the third wall, what's the shear of the third wall? What do we keep saying? Is the shear of the third wall seven? No, it's one. Shlish tefilu tefach. So the wall only needs to be one. So once we have one, that accomplishes the shear dofen. What's the shear dofen or machitza mamish of the third wall? Just one. But what about this holich al pnei kol haruach? We need something to be extending for that seventh fucking amount. So that's when the Tiras HaPesach kicks in. Tiras HaPesach accomplishes this. It's able to help with part B. It extends this wall to be full length, but it doesn't make the wall seventh fucking. It doesn't contribute to the shear dofen. The shear dofen's one, and that's all it needs to be for the third wall. But we extend this, again, like this din mechitza, which we said in the previous question, we were discussing this, we extend this din mechitza further. So this can help explain, you know, perhaps what the Ran's goal is, or how the Ran can fit smoother, right? The Ran's saying, it doesn't work by Sukkah, it could work for the third wall. So why? We know the third wall is more kal, but what's really happening here? Now we have a little bit of a grasp on like the lumdus and the logic of what's working in terms of how this concept of Tiras HaPesach could contribute to the kashrus of the third wall and not the first two. Yeah, yeah, any questions?
Do that again.
Yeah, sure.
How Visker Rav ties into
to the two concepts of the wall, like from how it ties into the Ran?
Yeah.
The Ran is trying to argue that Tiras HaPesach does not work by Sukkah.
The third wall only needed din.
The third wall has a different requirement than the first two. The first two need seven. No, exactly. So all walls need both things. They need a sheer dofan and a din mechitza. What you mean is third wall doesn't need the mechitza mamish that the first two need. Meaning it still needs a mechitza mamish, it's just is a much lower amount, exactly. So it still has that one tefach. What's unique about the third wall is that you're not mamela accomplishing the other one. Meaning, when you have a seven tefach wall, you have seven tefachim of something extending that full length. If you have a one tefach wall, which you have in the third wall, you need something to be going kol p'nei aruach, you know, p'nei kol aruach. So this extension of a din mechitza, that's where the Tzuras HaPesach comes in.
But it's not helping the actual size.
It's not making it a seven tefachim wall. It's taking the one tefach wall and extending it to seven. I don't know if that's like sounds like semantics.
Extending its din.
Hopefully not. Yeah, I mean, for the you know, if you have to drop the key phrase, it would be like, I guess like mechitza mamish versus din mechitza. But like, I wouldn't want someone to just write that. I would want someone to show that they know a little bit of like, you know, what's going on. You know, So I think that's and how it fits into the Ran is because the Ran is saying that the Tzuras HaPesach doesn't work for the first two walls. So why doesn't the Tzuras HaPesach work for the first two walls? For the first two walls, you need a mechitza mamish of seven tefachim.
Yeah.
Tzuras HaPesach doesn't help you get there. So you have a seven tefachim wall, great. If you have a one tefach wall and then a Tzuras HaPesach that goes still seven tefachim, it doesn't make your wall seven tefachim. For the third wall, you only need one tefach. So once you have that one tefach, you don't need seven. Essentially, the chiluk is that the sheer mechitza, the din mechitza for three, is less than one and two. And because of that, but we still need something to go the seven length. We don't need that for one and two because mamela, it's accomplished. If you have a seven tefach wall, you have something for seven tefachim. So seven. The third wall, you just have one. So what's here? That's where the Tzuras HaPesach kicks in. It's not extending the sheer mechitza, the sheer dofen. It's just extending, you know, the din mechitza. It's making there's something there for the seven tefachim. It's not a seven tefach wall because the third wall doesn't need to be a seven tefach wall. So essentially, in this chiluk of the two things needed, Tzuras HaPesach only helps with the second thing. It only helps continue extend the din mechitza, let's call it, but it doesn't increase the shear of a dofen. So let's in theory try to work a Tzuras HaPesach onto the first wall. So you have a first wall and it's three tefachim long, and then you add a Tzuras HaPesach for the next four tefachim. So what's the necessary mechitza mamish that you need for a first wall? How many tefachim of wall? Seven, exactly. What do you have? Not seven. You don't. I mean, I think I said three, but like whatever I said, you have a wall. Meaning, don't think that the Tzuras HaPesach extends the wall. It doesn't. It extends what you have as a wall to be a further din of a wall, but it's not making it a larger wall. That's essentially how I think it fits into the Ran, I think.
Also, what's interesting is that this Biur Halacha over here, yeah, he basically says that the Ran holds that the Tzuras HaPesach doesn't work in any Ruach, which is against how we...
What, even three? No, you have to say it works in Dofen Shlishi, that's the point. Meaning, it can't work in any other wall except for Shlishi. That's Rava's Chiddush.
The Biur Halacha explains that he would hold that it works in no Ruach. Doesn't work, he explains that it doesn't work in the Tzuras HaPesach, and Kosh can't in any other Ruach.
It doesn't work, what was the first thing you said? In the third Ruach?
It doesn't work in the third Ruach, and Kosh can't in any other
Ruach. We gotta look into that. No, we gotta look. Let's just finish it up, and then we can look into that. Okay, so bringing it home. Okay, so Mburg Mara de la Das Rava. Oh, so Migo. Okay. Migo Davi Dovin in Sukkah, Davi Dovin in Shabbos. Okay. Oh, so definitely need some time for this one. Okay. Mahava Migo Lechadish Lvia Ritva. So, and Lama Amr Migo Lvia Ritva. Okay. So the Ritva's Malik on the Migo is as follows. The Ritva thinks it works on a Durabana level and not a Doraisa level. We spoke about Machlokas Ritva and Ran with regards to this. So, it's, you know, this was a complicated Gemara and great Sugya, but it definitely took some work. So, essentially, we have this halacha Moshe Sinai that makes it kilu as a third wall. But we know by Hilchos Shabbos that with an open fourth wall, there's an isser drabanan to carry. There's an isser total. So what we have is essentially what's considered a kasher sukkah, yet something that's usher drabanan to carry in on Shabbos. So the Migo tells us we follow the din d'oraisa over the din d'rabanan, and we're not worried about this din d'rabanan of carrying on Shabbos. How can we do this? Because this is what the Ritva says. But how? Because the Torah is already being makil by the third wall, right? The Torah is telling us the third wall only needs to be a tefach. So once we have this kula, we continue that kula and say, also don't worry about the Isser Darabanan on Shabbos. This kula of the third wall, it makes it a good sukkah, and it makes it that we don't have to worry about this din Darabanan, this Isser Total by Shabbos. So that's the Migo Lefi the Ritva. To neglect the Darabanan or not worry about the Darabanan and emphasize the Daraisa. Fine. So that's Shita the Ritva. Now we have a couple of kashas on that Shita. We have honestly two opposite kashas. I really don't have a better way to say it. We have the Gedolei HaDoros scored in the Mehiri and the Kasha the Ran. So the Gedolei HaDoros says as follows. How can the Migo do anything on the Isser D'Rabbanan? The Isser D'Rabbanan has to do with the fourth wall, right? What's our case? Shnayim Kechasam V'Shishu V'Yotafach. We're worrying about the third wall right now. Nothing to do with the fourth wall. The third wall affects the D'Oraisa issue. The fourth wall, if we have a fix on the third wall, that by Legabe Sukkah, so maybe that could remove the D'Oraisa by Shabbos, but the D'Rabbanan has to do with the fourth wall being open. If you're going to try to apply this to the fourth wall, how can you do that? We're not even talking about the fourth wall. But that has nothing to do with the fourth wall. And by Hilchah Shabbos, if that fourth wall is open, it's a Darabanan. So what does the Migo, what can the Migo possibly have anything to do with the Darabanan? The Migo could work with the Oraisa, it's not going to help you with this Darabanan. That's the Gedolah Doris's point. If you draw the diagram, you have two walls and change. And if we say the change, the Chiddush by Sukkah is that two and change turns into three. It's three good walls. But you still have a fourth open wall. Nothing's changing with that fourth wall. So we'll address that in a minute to see if it's really true. But that's the Kash of the Gedolah Doros. And the Ran is the opposite Kash of the Ratah. He says, it can't just be that the Migo is on a Darabanan. That's Pasha. There would be no Chiddush. There would be no Chiddush in the Gemara if the Migo is just working on a Darabanan. Clearly, the Migo has to extend to the Raisa. That's the Ran Shita. The Ran gives two cases, but we'll just focus on one. The Ran says Psal Hayote, in the case of Psal Hayote, which we've been speaking about. So that area is now kosher on Shabbos too, which would be an Isur D'Oraisa, right? If you think about Psal Hayote, presumably, if I'm understanding the case correctly, you're standing in an area where you're not enclosed by three walls. Agave Sukkah, Mitat Sukkah, you are, right? Psal Hayote, the Chiddush is that it's as if the third wall extends to you. And you're, again, you have one really long wall, you know, and then your east-west. Because you wouldn't be within three walls. It would be like you're within two walls and you throw something. If you think about it, you're past one of the walls. That's the Isur D'Oraisa, presumably. But Rebbe didn't even really ask for the Ran, to be honest. I mean, we saw this in Shira, obviously. That we said that the Ran thinks it works D'Oraisa. He just asked, what's the Kasha of the Ran? The Kasha of the Ran on the Ritva is... It would be Pashut if it works on the D'Rabbanan. So, you know... It has to be working on the D'Oraisa. But his Kasha on the Ran is... It's funny. We have one Kasha, it shouldn't work on the D'Rabbanan at all. The other Kasha is... Pasha that it should work on the Darabanan. So then we say Keter Bira Ran Lama Ramiga. So I guess we are a little bit talking about the Ran Shita, but the Ran again holds that it works on the D'Oraisa. And so something interesting that the Ran says is that how do we know it's Lakula and not Lachumra? Something else we spoke about at length in the actual Shir itself during the Shirim. So the Torah tells us that something's a Hakshir Sukkah. Right, so we know you need, let's say, three walls to have a good Sukkah. And we're saying, Shnaim Klasa Vishlish Tavi Utafach, Halacha Vishwisinai. Really, your three walls is two and one more Tafach. And we said the Marchesh is also that, you know, we spoke about this a lot yesterday with the Mosif or Megareah with one of the four options and understanding the Machos or Bishimon or Chamim. But so this third wall, this Tafach is Gilu, full third wall, or whatever, you know, the Lumbus may be, but two and one Tafach, and however that Tafach is, the Tzur Sabazach, that is now considered a Kasher Sukkah. So if that's Hakshir Sukkah on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, the Torah can't all of a sudden tell you, come Shabbos, you can't sit there. If it's a Hakshir Sukkah, it's going to be a Hakshir Sukkah for the full week. So that's how the Ran knows it has to be Lakula. You can have something that's kosher on Shabbos that's not kosher the rest of the week, but to have a Sukkah that's kosher on day one, day two, day three, etc., and all of a sudden not kosher one of the days, and the Ran does some really impressive math. He says, there are 7 days of Sukkahs and there are 7 days in the week. So... impossible for you to find me a sukkah that doesn't have Shabbos. Essentially proving that the Torah is giving you an extra sukkah, it's going to have to be kosher on Shabbos too. So the Migo has to be Lakula. That's what the Ran says. And what is the Migo itself? So we're still having trouble here. Because if the Ran's saying it's working with the Raisa, so what about that fourth wall, right? We mentioned this fourth wall. By Shabbos, if the fourth wall is open, you still have this Isser D'Rabbanan. By Shabbos, what do we need? We need four walls. We need an enclosure. We need a makom mukaf, this gador, this area that's really enclosed and protected from the outside and closed off on four sides. By Sukkah, we don't have that. So the Chiddush is that, and this is a svara given in the Meiri, that we can potentially apply to the Ran, is the following. If it's a makom mukaf, a makom gador, the gabe Sukkah, then we can say it is by Shabbos too. Then Echanami Sukkah has a lower threshold than Shabbos. Sukkah, we need three walls. Shabbos, we need four. But if it's considered an enclosed area by Sukkah, the Chiddush of Shabbos to Sukkah, and the Chiddush of this Migo, so we can consider it a closed structure, Lagabe Shabbos too. Even though normal Shabbos need four, Sukkah, you need three. If it's considered closed and enclosed for Sukkah, on Sukkah of Shabbos, it will also consider to be enclosed. Maybe that's how it can work on the D'Oraisa and the D'Rabbana. So, yeah.
Sure.
I think we should.
Sure.